Hi, and welcome. This is John March.
This is Jamie Kine.
And this is John.
And Jamie.
And this is Guitar Talk.
Welcome.
Welcome. This is a show for people who essentially have either no lives at all.
Or are complete guitar geeks, or both.
Which is probably generally going to be the case.
Yeah, so this is a forum where we're going to talk about a lot of things, well, pretty much everything related to guitar. Or I should say, everything that we talk about will be related to guitar.
In some shape or form.
In some way.
Jamie is a wonderful guitar player who's been touring recently with the Zappa Play Zappa Project and has been a session player in Los Angeles forever. One of my dear friends for the last 20 years. And we were also fortunate enough to both be very long-term students of the late and great Ted Green.
And John also is a fabulous guitar player, plays in many wonderful projects, great player. Tremendous chord guy, harmonic vocabulary from hell.
And, from hell. Chords from hell. Dun, dun.
So, you know, we're going to touch on all of that.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we want to be able to actually have conversations which are almost entirely meaningless to anyone other than people who are obsessed with either gear, strings, picks, amps, pedals.
Yeah, guitar. Yeah. Guitar tone performing. The music business, any aspect of guitaring and
recording,
music making, recording,
production, yeah. Trying to sell your crap when no one's actually interested in ever hearing it.
Geeky gearhead stuff like microphones, recording techniques, and all that. You know, basically, we're just going to be talking about what it is that we have come across in our experience and what works for us. Because
wait, stuff works for us.
Nothing's really worked for me as of yet, but the things that I like. I can speak to, and that's about all that I can speak to.
Yeah, I think we're both going to have super opinionated perspectives because if you were to put any two guitar players in a room with the same exact rig, you could not get two people who will sound absolutely different on the exact same rig. He will sound wonderful and sort of amazingly slick and cool and tremendously in control, and I will sound like a bludgeoning beast moving through a china shop with a large, blunt object.
But the same can be said for any two players. You can take like a great Marshall and line up 10 players. They're all going to sound different through it.
Yes, so, in fact, that would probably be one point, a conversation we have about the idea of tone and touch and the sort of overall ridiculousness of gear acquisition syndrome when you have guys like, for example, Robin Ford, who can pick up a broom and pretty much sound like Robin Ford every time he picks up that broom.
Right. And so, you know, that's just how it is. So if, you know, you're not into guitar or you're not into that aspect of it and the geekery of it all, then this probably won't interest you. And maybe it won't interest you anyways, in which case, you know, you can tune out right now.
Yeah, turn the dial. You know what? Just turn us off. Just turn your dial off and go away.
Turn to another show.
Yeah, turn to another show because we aren't interested if you're not completely obsessed with guitars and all things guitar. Okay? So that's our basic premise.
But today, what are we going to talk about today? I don't even know. We have a topic?
I was thinking one of the things, because one of the things that you and I happen to love and have a great love for is harmony and chords, specifically from having studied with the late, great Ted Green, one of our mentors and heroes.
I see.
And I was thinking maybe we could talk about the idea, because a lot of the guys in a lot of the shows are all talking about super uber chops and Yngwie-ness and, you know, the whole way to shred. And I find that one of the things that's really lacking in most guitar players is the ability to actually play chords, like a vocabulary of chords, which I think this idea of vocabulary is a really interesting thing because it implies that we're actually having a conversation musically.
Okay.
So what do you think? Like all chords? Right. What are your thoughts?
Sure.
Okay, so how do you build a chord vocabulary? How do you actually do that?
Wow, that is a question that's hard to address in one short sentence.
Well, let's stop and let's just turn this thing off and let them go on their way.
Okay.
What do you think?
We'll let you guys ponder that. well, in my experience with teaching students, the way that I would usually do it is I would start them with a few nuggets, a few basic chord forms.
Shapes. So you go with shapes. Okay.
Well, I don't like calling them shapes because just it's sort of, I have this sort of personal issue with the word shapes, but you can't really escape it on the guitar because it really is just kind of a nature of the instrument.
It's a geometric instrument.
Yeah.
It's a geometric instrument.
But I personally have sort of strived to get away from any shape-based or pattern-based playing, even though you just can't avoid it, but, you know, It's just my own little thing.
Well, you can, but you have to reapproach the instrument. Like one of the things I studied with Mick Goodrick when I was a kid,
yeah.
And he had this great idea. He said that instead of thinking of the guitar as 1/6-stringed instrument, you think of it as 6 1-stringed instruments.
Right.
And Ted and I had a lot of talking about that. He said a lot of the ways he sees chords is he sees them as the relationships of one voice to another, 6 singing voices.
Yeah, he would always talk, and when he spoke in terms of chords, he would talk about the individual notes within the chord as voices.
Yes,
he would voices. Always refer to them as like, you know, like, and he would talk about them in terms of like the alto voice, the tenor voice, the soprano voice, the bass voice, and he would arrange chords. When he was describing how he was voicing a chord, he would say, I'm voicing this one, A-S-T, he would use like those abbreviations and things like that. Anyone that ever studied with Ted for any length of time and got into the minutia of chords probably encountered that. But that's an interesting way of looking at it, because literally they are like, you know, separate voices.
That yeah, because most people, I think, as young guitar players, they get stuck in the shape perspective.
Right.
And they map it out so they know, well, if I know this shape, then it's this shape somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is you get this very blocky sort of approach to guitar playing that's kind of like, well, I can play these physical gestures and it will function as the sound harmonically, but it doesn't really integrate with how maybe music can be approached, you know, with a more fluid sensibility.
Right. I do think that there is value in learning that. Like there's, like when I learned how to play and I was younger, I have told this story a number of times to students, and it's true. I had a, you know, one of those chord dictionaries. It was like, you know, 1001 guitar.
I remember the Mel Bay thing.
Yeah, they were the skinny little, you know, like a pamphlet looking
with
thing.
With the grid. I remember
and,
that.
And like 1001 guitar chords. And I remember being so overwhelmed and looking, it's like, how am I ever going to learn 1001 guitar?
But there were only really like 80, and they were all just in different keys.
Well, right. And then they had them broken up into movable chords and non-movable chords. And then after I kind of got into that a little bit, I discovered that it's like you would have like, you know, an E chord. And a G chord and an A chord and a C chord and a D chord, et cetera. And then those were your non-movable chords. Because, you know, like if you just take those, like the three notes of a C chord and you slide it up a half step, it's like all of a sudden it's going to sound like with these weird dissonances in it. Actually, I've kind of grown to enjoy those sounds now. But at the time,
I like those sounds.
When your ear is really undeveloped, you're like, whoa, what the hell is that?
But that's a good point. Don't skip that. So that's an important point. Part of the vocabulary aspect of getting a harmonic vocabulary is the relationship of your ears, what you're hearing, with what the map is that you've been given for the song, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to apply, because we're talking about developing a chord vocabulary, we're talking about the application is you develop voicings on the instrument that allow you to play songs, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the function of it.
Yeah. And, you know, so anyways... You know,
did I derail your train of thought?
I'm sorry, I derailed you. But that's all right. I'll get back to it.
I feel like I've derailed you.
But you have these chords, and then basically what it sort of dawned on me is like, well, there's these 5 chords, you know, like this E, G, A, C, and D sort of, you know, shapes, if you will, or forms. And then the non-movable chord, or the movable chords, were the bar chords. The chords that were effectively the same geometric shape, but just up in a different spot on the neck, and you had your index finger acting as a capo or So that was sort of formed the basis of how I then started approaching the guitar years later, and this is like within the last like, you know, half dozen or so years. I started hearing this term, the caged system.
Yeah, I heard about this when I was at MI with you. So they tried to get me to learn that.
The caged system. And it's basically what it is that way. It's you 5 chord forms, E, G, A, C, and D.
Right.
If you rearrange those chords in terms of, you know, C, A, G, E, and it spells out the word cage.
Cage, right.
So it's just, that's what it is. It's the way that I learned, and I think it's the way a lot of people learn. But someone thought to just kind of apply the name, well, if you rearrange them in this order, it spells out the word cage, and I'll call it the cage system. And now it's just a system of 5 basic chord forms that everything else is kind of based off of.
No, but does that, because I never learned caged, okay?
But you did.
Not intentionally, because
neither did I. But that's how I learned.
Okay. But when I play, I have 2 concepts in mind. I'm looking at the soprano note and the lowest note.
Yeah, but when you were 9 years old and you were learning chords, you're not thinking in terms of soprano and bass.
No,
that's true. That's what I'm talking about. Talking about the basis for forming a vocabulary of chords, or building a vocabulary, generating a vocabulary of chords over time. And it's like, you know, so I'm saying there is value in learning these real rudimentary types of approaches, because from there you can then springboard into like, okay, now that you know these chords, you know, it, then you start understanding, well, this big six note E chord is really only three notes. It's a root, it's a third, and a fifth.
Okay.
And it's arranged in this arrangement of notes that we refer to as the voicing. And, you know, once you start understanding that, then you can start getting it. You can make that leap into thinking in terms of, you know, the soprano voice, the tenor voice, the alto voice.
See, now just to be contrary, because that's kind of why we're here.
Sure.
I actually teach the almost exact opposite, which is because I don't understand cage or teach that way. What I actually teach guys to do.
But see, I got to stop you. Because to say you don't understand cage is disingenuous.
Okay.
You do understand.
I do understand cage, but I don't use it.
You've been playing guitar for like 100 years. You understand.
I'm old now.
You understand C, A, G, E, and D.
He's going to the old stuff.
That's all there is to it. There's nothing else to the cage.
There is true.
Five chords arranged in that order.
There is true. Okay. But my framework when I talk to guys about this is, because I get asked a lot actually about my chord work, because I'm not the strongest of soloists, but I can do like harmonic stuff that's strong. And when I'm teaching it, what I talk to guys about a lot is color. And I say, what is the sound that you like when you first started playing the guitar about an open D chord in the second position? Why do you like that? And I say, well, isn't it interesting how it sounds different when you play it on the seventh fret and you bar the seventh fret? Or when you play it on the, you know, the 10th fret, was it 12th fret, and you play the exact same notes, 12, 12, and 11. Up on the, you know, A, D, and G string. It's the same exact notes, but the color of it changes completely. Am I correct? I think that's right.
Right, yeah.
A, D, F sharp, right?
Yeah,
A, D,
F sharp. You're playing the exact same notes, but you're moving them up to different string groups.
Yeah, and the density of the string changing, the color. And I say, well, what I suggest to guys is doing is, all I actually do is, I have them look at the guitar, and I say, first look at the guitar and see only the natural notes on the guitar. One string at a time.
Yeah.
And I'll say, okay, look at it. So like you're looking at the white keys of a piano.
Right.
And then I'll say, so once you can see the white keys of the piano, and then you know where, obviously wherever the white keys aren't, are the black keys of the piano. And those are sharps and flats.
Yes.
And so what's happening is I try and point guys to this, and I say, let's look at chords together, major, minor, and dominant, which are the three sort of basic approaches that I look at.
Right.
And say, how do you find those colors in groupings around the neck? And I'll start with picking a song, and I'll say, let's take that song group, look at the three or four basic chords, and then try and find different ways around the neck to play those same chords. And then I'll start adding color. And what I'm trying to do is break the geometric pattern and say, you know, that it's not shape-based that I'm looking for, it's color-based, and the sound that I'm looking for, and how one sound leads from one to the other. And what happens after a period of time is you start to realize that you're not so much trapped with the geometry of it, as you can do with what your ears are telling you works.
Yeah.
Because you start to see how the neck integrates into colors. That's the way I'm looking at things.
Yeah, no, that's a great way. That's a great approach. And that's something that is, I think, a little bit, again, would be a great approach for someone that already has a basic handle on, you know, on the basics of the basic chords, you know, knows their basic major and minor and dominant open chord forms. You know,
that's true. That's true. Because I've encountered people who don't get the difference in this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it might be a little heady for someone who's, you know, like 10 years old and just starting to learn guitar. And,
so let's approach that. So if you're 10 years old and you're listening to our show, what we've just talked about is this, the very beginning idea of how you develop a chord vocabulary, which is, in our opinions, equally as important to being a shredder or a soloist.
Yes.
I would think.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And it's an underrated aspect of guitar playing, which is rhythm and accompaniment and harmonic vocabulary. You know, you don't see piano players going, oh, I'm just going to be able to play with my right hand and not be able to comp. It's, you know, there's a sense of how harmony and chords come together. So as a beginning sort of thing, Jamie and I are touching on this idea. There's a lot of approaches, but the idea is to develop, you know, a beginning place that lets you explore the guitar and start to develop a vocabulary, which is the thing we started our conversation with, a vocabulary. Like you're having a conversation with someone. If I could only say to Jamie, sit, couch, yellow, shirt, small, table. You know, it's not really conveying as much as, hey, Jamie, I like the yellow shirt you're wearing and this couch is really comfortable. I'm glad we can set the computer down in front of us and have a talk. Right? There's a vocabulary aspect to that sentence that made sense. So this is basically our show. This is John and Jamie.
Talking about guitars.
And all things in between.
Yes.
And, you know, we're here. And we'll probably be back. I would imagine.
Thanks for listening in.
Or not, because some people may have turned off at that very beginning when we said to get the hell out of here.
No, what they've done is they've called all their friends, and now they're listening.
This is just blown up.
It's blown up.
You think so?
Blown up.
Because I know for a fact at some point, if it really blew up to like more than two people, we might even take callers.
Yeah, we need to take some callers.
Yeah. So next episode, every episode is going to be me and Jamie sitting here kind of shooting the shit and talking about what we think is important and maybe not so important and agreeing and disagreeing a lot and kind of guitar geeking out. So thanks for tuning into Guitar Talk, and we'll see you next time around.
Peace.
Out. We're hip, aren't we? Oh, that's what I mean. You've been listening to Guitar Talk. This is a project that was conceived, written, recorded, and performed by John March and Jamie Keim. Copyright June 2012. All rights reserved. Duplication and performances by permission only.